Psalm chapter 37. How many of you here today have everything you want? Today, you woke up and you realized that every desire you have is now fulfilled. And you graced us with your presence today. That's what I thought. The Bible says in Psalm 37, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." I believe the Bible. I hope you believe the Bible. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, let me explain that here in a minute. But first I want to ask you, in what do you delight yourself? We all delight ourselves. We all seek pleasure. We all seek something that would seem to be our goal of satisfaction, many times to find out it wasn't once we got it. But in what do you delight yourself? Let's pray, and then we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity to open together today and hear it preached and hear it read. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would speak through your word, your Holy Spirit would speak to us, and that each person in here would hear from you and that you would speak to them. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. When it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart," I do believe that it means what it says. But I also believe that there is a condition here concerning giving us the desires of our heart. We must delight ourselves in the Lord. I'm reminded when I see Psalm 37 verse 4 of another verse, and that's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. In Matthew 6, 33 it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Does he come first? That promise is from Jesus, red letters. If you have one of those Bibles with red ink, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things." And if you were to go back and look at all these things, it's all the needs that we need met. It's all of the needs and wants that we would need to have fulfilled in our life. And he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he begins that by talking about how that God makes sure that the flowers are taken care of and that the birds are taken care of, and that God can easily take care of his own, his people. And yet many times, we act like he can't take care of us, and that we have to take care of ourselves. Now, I do believe that we're supposed to work, and we're supposed to labor, and we are supposed to take care of ourselves, so to speak. But let's be honest here. There's people in here right now that they can't work as well as you can because of some physical thing in their life that keeps them from doing so. And pretty soon, you'll get there. One of the worst things that can happen to you is be so independent that you don't think you need God. What do you delight in? Because as time goes by, you're going to find out that you just can't do it anymore on your own. Many times we pretend to believe in God, but the real God is ourselves, and we take care of ourselves. That's who the real God is. We need to recognize that in our lives. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Did you happen to notice today is the first day of the week? And next Sunday will be the first day of the week again. New secular calendars are putting Sunday at the end, and they're calling it the weekend. Today's not the weekend. You started a new week today. And the first thing we do as Christians is go on the first day of the week to an assembly where we're going to worship him. That's why we give the first fruits of our income, the offerings that we give and the tithes that we give. It's the first fruits, not the leftovers. We put him first. That's what the Bible would indicate and would have us to do. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." In Luke chapter number 9, Jesus said this. Luke 9 and verse number 24, 9:24 of Luke. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. There are many have lost their lives for a sake. But it wasn't his sake. But the Bible says that if you'll lose your life for his sake, you'll save it. I promise you today, as Christians, and I'm talking to most of the people in this room, our believers, I'm sure of that. I promise you today that's our biggest temptation after our salvation is letting God have our life and letting him lose it, so to speak, for his cause. And we don't believe that we could possibly win and get all the desires of our heart if we do that. Well, you have to either believe Jesus or not. Either you delight in him and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Either you put him first and he'll add all these things to you. Either you lose your life and you'll find it, or he's a liar. I do not claim to have passed that test and done that every time and been the poster child for what I'm talking about today. But I have experienced it and I have seen it in my family. And I'm so thankful to be able to tell you I know it's true. I know it's absolutely true. When you delight yourself in God and you let God be number one and your delight is just in him and you wake up every morning thinking about what he would have you to do and that's who's on your mind, he will give you the desires of your heart. You say, Pastor, are you saying that if I just start delighting in God in every area of my life and I just put him first and I just really become 180% totally yielded to God, that I'll finally get the yacht that I want? No. Because as far as I know, if you live in Custer, South Dakota, you don't need a yacht. But more importantly, what God does is he changes your desires. He changes your desires to be like what his desires. See, the closer you get to him, the more you kind of think like him. And the more you think like him, the more you want what he wants instead of what you want. And all of a sudden, you see prayers answered that you never got answered before. He never would answer that yacht prayer. He never would answer that Cadillac prayer. But all of a sudden, you start answering prayers that you never thought he could answer because you're delighting in him and you're praying. You're actually praying his will instead of your will. So in what do you delight yourself? Because you are your own worst enemy when it comes to this. What are you delighting in? What is it that matters? Are you seeking his will? Are you desiring what he would have for you most? That's the key here. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But secondly, how do we delight in the Lord? How do we practically flesh that out? How do we make that look like on paper? What do we make that look like? How is that in living color? Well, Psalm chapter 1. In verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You ever meet one of those weirdos? One of those people that are just too religious? I'm making fun of that, but it's not to be made fun of. They're not too religious. If they're just delighting in God's word, they're getting closer to the Lord. You can't get closer to the Lord than getting closer to his word. And knowing his word will help you to hear his Holy Spirit. And if you're saved and you've been born again, and you then apply the rest of his word to your life, you'll realize, you know what, I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And there's plenty of ungodly counsel out there. I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. I'm going to get away from. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm going to get into the other camp and follow the other way. His delight is in the law of the Lord. By the way, the ungodly, the scornful, and the sinners are not interested in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He just kind of chews on it all day long. It's not just a book he reads to check off a box that says, I read my Bible reading for today, but I'm actually enjoying what I'm reading. I'm retaining it. I'm actually getting something out of it. I'm chewing on it more. I go to church. I go to Sunday school. I go back to church, and I'm hearing something, and it's starting to help me to understand some things. And we just had special preaching a couple weeks ago. We had preaching Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And there are people who just all of a sudden started to say, you know what, I could do more. I could be more. And God is changing and moving in my life, and I'm thankful for it. And you're meditating in those law day and night. Verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because he delights in the word of God. He delights in the word of God. When I was a kid, I learned God's word because somebody was going to give me a candy bar. I wasn't interested in God's word. I was interested in the candy bar and the little metal pin I got to put on my vest. That was what I was interested in. I was interested in going to church only if I thought there was going to be something a little extra special. I wasn't interested in God's word. There was a time in my life I'd sit in church with my parents, just like some of these kids are sitting right now. And right behind us, there was rock work, floor to ceiling, stones. And I would count them. 1, 2, 3. Why? Because I wasn't delighting in God's word. I was just there because mom and dad said I had to be there. And 4, 5. But then one day, I stopped counting the rocks. Then one day, all of a sudden, something got my attention. All of a sudden, life became more real to me and more interesting. And I realized I need that. And I started listening, and I started paying attention. And it wasn't the candy bar anymore. And it wasn't just the award that I was going to get. It was because I needed to know what God's word said. I remember seeing a hymn, and halfway through a hymn, I was like, wait, that's what the Bible says. I was pretty slow. No wonder they wrote that song. It's from the Bible. It comes out of there. And I started singing songs and realizing they were biblical. And they were reminding me of what the Bible said. And here's what I found out after that. It's doing me good. Way more than a candy bar. It is valuable to me. It is something that's changing my life in a good direction. Look with me in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Do you delight in the Lord? Because if you delight in the Lord, you're going to delight in His Word. Psalm 119 and verse 24. Psalm 119, 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. The psalmist says, thy testimonies, His Word, are also are my delight and my counselors. My counselors. You need counselors. Some people pay money to go listen to some person tell them all this counsel. You can get it for free right in God's Word. He's got 66 counselors in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. There's 66 of them. And you can read them every day over and over again. And the psalmist said, the testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I'll tell you what, as it says right there in the same passage, thy word's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have gained wisdom and good counsel from reading God's word. As a young man, I started reading Proverbs every day. And I'd read a chapter a day. There's 31 chapters, 31 days in the month. I'd read a chapter a day. And at first, it was just kind of I'm just going to do this. And I'd read it every day. But you know what? Pretty soon, I realized that Proverbs, it was starting to sink in. And I was starting to get wisdom in the Proverbs. I was starting to learn things. There's things in the Proverbs that you might want to know. For instance, there's financial discernment and wisdom in the Proverbs. Anybody need financial discretion sometime? There's marriage wisdom and marriage advice in the Proverbs. There's warnings about the strange woman over and over again, the strange woman in the Proverbs. There's all kinds of things in the Proverbs that a teenager can read and go, man, I need to remember that. There's also the virtuous woman in the Proverbs. Years ago, I met a lady. She's not perfect, but she, in my opinion, based on the reading of the Proverbs, I felt like she kind of fit the description of the virtuous woman. So I asked her if she'd marry me. I asked her again and again and again. Begged. I got wisdom in who to marry based on the Proverbs. And I'm just telling you that when you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. See, what you really want is not that cute girlfriend or boyfriend. What you really want is not that $1 million. What you really want is not the yacht. What you really want is to be happy and satisfied. That's what you really want. And you know who knows how to do that better than anybody else? The one who made you. There's so many people that have gotten the cute girlfriend or the yacht, and they still aren't happy or satisfied. Have you not read the celebrities lately? There's so many people that have gotten everything they wanted and still have not found the desires of their heart. And it's because they don't know the Creator, and they're not delighting in Him. But when you delight in Him and you read His Word and you get to know Him and you realize how special His Word is to you and you realize His way is not just a good way, it's the best way. It is the only way. Look at verse 92, Psalm 119 and verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Anybody here ever gone through affliction? As rough as you've got it maybe right now or had it, imagine without God. Imagine without His Word to hang on to. Don't you love that song the girl sang? This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Don't you love the fact that that's Larry's favorite song? This world's not my home. You know what? I'm not planning on it anytime soon, but that's going to be sung at a funeral in some distant future. That's a testimony by itself. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Only a Christian talks like that. Only someone who delights in the Lord talks like that. And if it wasn't for His Word, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I would have been a mess. I'd have just died, worthless and lost and helpless. We delight ourselves in His Word. If we'll do that, good things will come of it. And then verse 3, or point 3, back in Psalm 40. Delighting in the Lord, delighting in His Word. In Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. After you're saved, and after you start to delight in God, you come to a realization about something, and that is that God would have you to do something. You specifically to do something. God has a plan for your life, a purpose for you that He wants you to fulfill. It is different for everybody. Very different for everybody. No one has the exact same personal direct will of God. And so I cannot tell you what yours is, and you can't tell me what mine is. I just know what mine is, and hopefully you know what yours is. What God's will is for your life after the generalities of salvation. He wants everybody to get saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. All right? Not everyone gets saved, but God wants them to be saved. The Bible says that. I know that other preachers don't say that. There's Calvinists that don't say that, but God's Word says that. So we'll just go with God's Word. God's Word says He's not willing that any should perish. After your salvation, God would have everyone to get baptized. Unless you're hanging on a cross and dying, like the thief was, God would have us to be baptized. Now, you don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. Because the thief on the cross never got baptized, but he received Jesus while he was hanging on the cross. But unless you're dying after your salvation, God would have you to get baptized. God would have you to be a part of a local church. God would have you to do what we've already talked about today. But after that, I can't tell you the specifics of where God would have you to live or God would have you to marry or anything like that. That's up to Him and you and knowing what His will is for your life. But I'm going to ask you this. Are you afraid of His will? I remember hearing one preacher, he said, I was afraid God was going to have me marry a bratwurst. You know, some shriveled up woman instead of a pretty woman. What a selfish thing to say. He's ugly himself. But you know, he's just admitting the truth about a lot of us. We're afraid God's will is not going to be something we like. Well, do you believe God or not? He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the desire. He will give you what you couldn't probably get yourself. So don't be afraid of God's will. Don't be afraid to follow the will of God for your life. My father got saved, and when he got saved, man, he got in. I mean, he just got all in. He's just started, he got baptized as soon as he found out that's what he should do. He started going to church. He started going to church not just once a week. He's going to church over and over again. And pretty soon he got involved. He became a Sunday school bus captain, and he started going through Schaumburg, Illinois area and started picking up kids and bringing them to church on the bus. And he just started getting more and more involved. Before that, his desire was to be a millionaire. His desire was to be a millionaire. This is back in the 70s. And he was on his way. You know, he hobnobbed with some of the rich and famous, and he was climbing the ladder of success, and he was going to be a somebody. And God changed his desires. He started delighting in the Lord. And God changed his desires. When I was born, he put a football on my stomach because his desire was for me to be a football player. Well, that didn't pan out very well. Thank God he changed that plan. There's a lot of football players that are famous and rich, but they're not happy. I'm thankful that plan got changed. My father's personal financial goals changed as well. But as he found God's will, and he wasn't perfect, but as he found God's will and chased after God's will, goodness and mercy chased after him. I delight to do thy will, O God. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that if you stopped holding on to the steering wheel and let God have it, that it wouldn't be fun anymore? That it would be scary? Well, yeah, you're right. Because God loves to challenge our faith. He loves to challenge our faith. When my father changed his desire from going to the business world of success into following God's will for his life and the ministry that God was pulling him towards, God did not roll out the red carpet for him. God did not say, you know, Tom, you're so used to riding around in limousines and Cadillacs, I'll just make sure that stays that way. God didn't do that for him. Because in God's will, there's a lot of learning. There's a lot of things that need to be learned, and the only way to learn them is sometimes the hard way. It's through some trials and testing. That's just how it is. You read the Bible, you'll know that's how it is. But if you'll delight in the will of God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Tom Furs never did become a millionaire, and his son never became a football player. But his family's still intact. We go to family reunions and can't say that about a lot of the others who didn't follow God. And God is blessed, and it has been a blessing to be a part of that story. Psalm 119 again in verse 16, it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know, God has things laid out for us in service. God would have things in the word of God that we are to obey and follow. Statutes, things that he would have us to do and serving him, and things that are just there point blank. It's for every Christian to get involved and be a part of. It's just what it is. I delight in those statutes. They are good for me. And then over in John chapter 4, there's an interesting verse. It's just interesting. In John chapter 4, it's in the middle of this story of Jesus, and he is talking to the woman at the well. She was a Samaritan. And the disciples went into Samaria to buy some lunch. And Jesus, he went to Samaria to talk to this woman. And so he sits at the well, and it's high noon. She comes out. They have a conversation. She is shocked that he would talk to her because she is a Samaritan. And she's also not a very clean woman, you could say. And so she's shocked that he would talk to her. And when the disciples come back from buying lunch, they're shocked that he's talking to her. And in the midst of all that, after walking all that way and taking a break and getting ready for lunch, it says in verse 31 of John 4, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He's had an amazing conversation with this woman. This woman says, I know one day the Christ is coming, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things. And he said, I am the Christ. And when she realized she was talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, she left her water pot and ran back to the city and started telling everybody who she found. It was a great conversation. We don't have time to read it all. But in verse 31, the disciples come back. And they said, Master, eat. We got lunch for you. Eat. Verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now I want to tell you something. Pretty much every lunch, I'm ready to eat. I don't think it's a surprise to tell you that I like to eat. And I'll tell you right now, I've met some people, weird people, that will forget to eat. I don't know what's wrong with them. That's weird. That's just, And here they come back and they've got food and they say, Master, we've got lunch for you. He said, I'm already satisfied. What? Did someone else feed him? I just had a wonderful conversation with a lady who has just found the truth and now ran back to the city and she is telling all her friends about me. And there is nothing you've got in that sandwich bag that can match what I've just experienced. Doing the will of God is a delight even more than food. Yesterday, I got to experience a little of that. And it was just fun to just kind of sit there and watch and listen to what was happening. And I have to be honest, I really wasn't even hungry. I was having so much fun, I forgot what time it was and how long we'd been there. And if you want to know more about it, you can come back tonight. Number four, we delight ourselves in prayer and worship. If we'll delight ourselves in prayer and worship, that's what we ought to do. Look at Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. This chapter is actually scolding people who are very religious but are far from the Lord. But in verse 2 it says, Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. We should delight in the Lord in prayer. Prayer is not something that we've always delighted in. Can we be honest about that? We don't necessarily delight in prayer. There's work involved and there's time involved in prayer. And to be honest with you, our flesh doesn't want to pray like we ought to pray. But God would have us to come to Him and to delight to come to Him. Let me also tell you that prayer is not just in a room, although you certainly should pray in a room somewhere and maybe in a closet, so to speak, in a private area. But prayer should just be all the time. Pray without ceasing. You're going down the road, maybe you've got a habit of listening to something as you drive down the road. You know what? I know this might come as a surprise to you, but you actually can turn that off. And you can just talk to God. Eyes open, please. Don't drive with your eyes closed. But you can talk to God while you're driving. I like to have a CD in my truck that has just good, godly music because that will help me to think about the things I should be thinking about. And sometimes I'll just even turn that off and just have a conversation with the Lord. God wants us to pray, but He wants it to be sincere, delightful praying. Then look it down here in verse number 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the inheritance of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Obviously, back in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. But the word Sabbath does not mean Saturday, and the word Sabbath does not mean seventh. The word Sabbath was just the holy day, the one day of the week that they were to set aside for God. We do not observe the Sabbath any time of the week to earn our salvation or to obey the law in the testament, the commandments, in order to go to heaven. We do not do that. We do not have to do that. We're not supposed to do that. There are some people who claim to be closer to God because they meet on Saturday than on Sunday. In a minute, I can tell you that's just not right. But the idea of Sabbath is that we do have a time and a day that we recognize as God's day. Well, I don't understand all of this, and I don't understand how it all works, but I do know this, that God still has a special day. Because in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 10, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In Corinthians chapter 16, it says, on the first day of the week, when you gather together, lay by him everyone in store. Acts chapter 20, and verse, I think it's 27, 28, it talks about they met on the first day of the week. The Lord's day. What day do you guess would be the Lord's day? Sunday. And with the biblical heritage that our founding fathers carried with them, not all of them, but many of them had a biblical education and an understanding of God's word. They put it even in, I think it's Article 7 of the Constitution, that when we have Congress meeting, we do not count Sundays. Sundays are accepted in the days that Congress would meet or vote or veto something. It says it right in our Constitution. Sunday is accepted. Why? Because it's the Lord's day. It's the first day of the week. It's the Lord's day. And when we delight ourselves in prayer and worship. Now, let's read that again. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on the holy day. I don't think I can explain to you all that that means, but I do know if you read Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah 13, Nehemiah was getting after the people because they were using Sabbath day and their feet to do the wine pressing. They were using Sabbath to make money. If you'll turn away from that idea of using your foot on the Sabbath and your pleasure on the Sabbath, look, that's what he was saying to the people in the Old Testament. I'm not saying we're supposed to go around and act like Old Testament believers today. We're not. They also weren't supposed to kindle a fire on the Sabbath. Well, everybody fired up your combustion engine and drove today. In a few more months, we're going to fire up our furnace to stay warm. So I do not believe we're supposed to obey all the laws of the Sabbath. But I do believe even in our day, we're taking a lot of pleasure on the Lord's day. It's getting to the point we're squeezing God in. I've got a lot to do. I don't have time for Sunday school. I've got a lot to do. And Sunday afternoon, I've got a lot to do. I got stuff to do. Why don't you do that on Saturday? Oh, that's my work day. That's when I work and make money. Oh, you can't sacrifice that day to get everything else done. You say, you're stepping on my toes, preacher. Hey, listen, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I'm the son of a man who gave up a whole lot of stuff, and I watched God bless him. And he never had to work on Sunday to get it. And we're checking a box. I went to church, now I can do what I want. Do you think God wants us to check a box? Do you think even if you do have perfect attendance in church, that makes you spiritual? Oh, no. Because we can be just as wicked in our own hearts and plop in a seat every week. Remember when I was a kid, I didn't do this, but when I was a kid, we were in church in Garland, Texas. and it was January something, and I didn't know this till later, but there were men in the church back in the late 70s who had a transistor radio in their pocket and a little thing in their ear because Roger Staubach was in the Super Bowl. Oh, they were there. They were there. But I don't think God was delighting in it. We have to be honest about this, because if you read chapter 58 of Isaiah, he says, you guys fast, but you're not really doing it the right way. He said, yeah, you guys fast, but there's a lot of stuff that you're just doing. You're hypocrites. He chews them out, 1 through 14, about their hypocrisy and their religion. I do believe that when someone delights in the Lord and they come to church with a desire to be there all the time to hear God's word, and they come ready to be fed and not half asleep, and they come ready to listen and not preoccupied on something else, I do believe that God speaks to those people and they do grow as a result of it. I do believe that happens. I do believe that when people are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, man, they just soaking it up like a sponge and they want it. But if you've got your sponge full of a whole bunch of other stuff, it doesn't matter how much we pour in. It's not going to get any in there. You've already got it full of something else. But when you delight in the Lord with prayer and worship in the right way, sincerely, He will give you the desires of your heart. Another possession of God is not just the Lord's day. There's also the Lord's supper, the Lord's table. Do you participate in the Lord's supper or the Lord's table? He would have you. Never can you find him saying, this don't in remembrance of me. But you can find him saying, this do in remembrance of me. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we delight ourselves in his word, if we delight ourselves in his will, and if we delight ourselves in prayer and worship the way he'd have us to, then he'll give us the desires of our heart. Then he will delight in us. Psalm 37 again. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Verse 4. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If you'll delight in him, he'll delight in you. And let me tell you something. If God delights in you, you are in good shape. If God is pleased with you, you are in good shape. Verse 23 of Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I've wondered a long time, who is the he delighteth in his way? Is it God delighting in the way of the man, or is it man delighting in God's way? Yes, that's the conclusion I've come to. Yes, both. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the good man delights in God's way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in that man's way. I think it fits either way. Look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. As Christians and as a believer, I have fallen. I've stumbled, but I have never been utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds me with his hand. And if you're wondering if you could really trust God, because you got to take care of yourself and you got to pay the bills and you got to make sure that things get done, look at verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now you think about this. Let's say you are someone who delights in the Lord. And if you delight in the Lord, your coworkers know it. I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm not saying you're real, obnoxious or vocal about it. But if you delight in the Lord, it's obvious that you delight in the Lord. If you delight in the Lord, your relatives know it. Your neighbors know it. Your friends know it. They know that you delight in the Lord. They know it. They can see it. It's obvious to them. You delight in the Lord. So if you delight in the Lord, don't you think maybe the Lord is concerned about the advertisement that you are? In other words, if you delight in the Lord, don't you think that the Lord wants to make sure your neighbors and your loved ones and your friends see what happens when you delight in the Lord? Don't you think that God will make sure that his is not begging bread? And it might be that that relative or co-worker or friend will finally say, I just don't know what to do. How do you do it? I don't mean this the wrong way, but I'm thankful that we've got some people in our church that have suffered greatly and even to this day have great hindrances and physical handicaps or things out of their control in this life. And I'm thankful they do. You know why? You know why I'm thankful they do? Because they, this particular people I'm talking about right now, they still walk around with a smile on their face and it's obvious they delight in the Lord. And you all know who I'm talking about if you live here. And I'm going to tell you right now that their delight in the Lord is infectious. And you might say, I don't see what good it's doing. I don't know why God's got to put his thumb on me like this. Or why does God allow Satan to work on them? And why does he give me this thorn in the flesh? I'll tell you why, because he's got something special going on. And you're walking around, you don't even know it, but you are a billboard for him. One of our missionaries said that his mother, 89 years old, has been told that her cancer is not able to be taken care of, and eventually she will lose her vocal cords, her mouth cancer. It's just going to be awful. She won't be able to eat. She won't be able to swallow, and that's how she's going to die. And that 89-year-old mother said to the doctor with our missionary that we support sitting next to her, that's okay. I'm getting a new body. I tell you what, that is just advertisement for God to that doctor. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he delights in us. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Are you honest in your dealings? A false balance means that they would fix the scale so that it would weigh such and such when it was really such and such. And it was dishonest in their dealing and in their exchanging of money and goods. A just weight is God's delight. Are you honest when it's costly? Look at verse 20, Proverbs 11:20. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. You ever been in a situation where you could easily lie and no one could prove it was a lie and it would get you out of the bind? But something inside said, you got to tell the truth even if you know you can get away with it. And let me tell you something. I have been there at least once in my life where I had to tell the exact truth of what happened, knowing that I would not be the delight of many people, but knowing that I would go home knowing that I would be the delight of at least one person. And that one was more important to me than the others. The upright are his delight. I've learned my lesson the hard way by not telling the truth and finding out that, yes, everybody was okay with me except the one that mattered most. Look at chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. In John chapter 15, Jesus said in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, let me just say it this way. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, that means you delight in him. And his word abides in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, Jesus said, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You'll start saying, Lord, I heard a story about this missionary or this preacher or this Christian that just, you did something amazing in their life and it wasn't for fame or fortune, but you save people and you use it. Lord, would you, I want you to use me. You desire to be used of God. You abide in him and his word abides in you, and you're okay with whatever he wants. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Years ago, I was in fifth grade, and I had a math teacher in my Christian school. His name was Carl Wright. Carl Wright had a family in the school, and his wife and little boys. They were younger than me, and Carl Wright was saved, and his wife was saved. Children all went to the church I went to, and we had special services at the church, and Carl Wright went to this special meeting, and he heard a message, and it just broke his heart, and he went forward, and he prayed and talked to the Lord, and then he went back, and he sat down, and he opened up his Bible, and he wrote the date. And he wrote, "I am willing to give my own life, God, if it would cause the salvation of my family. If you would save," and he started naming some of his relatives. "God, if you would save so and so," and he just wrote down, "I'm willing to give my life if it would mean the salvation." And then he wrote his name to his family. That afternoon, Carl Wright was supposed to be down at the lake. The church had a property with a lake on it, and Carl Wright was supposed to be down at the lake and kind of gathering up the boats and stuff like that and taking care of things and keep an eye on things. And in a freak accident, Carl Wright fell out of the canoe into the water, and it was early April back in the Chicago area, and it was freezing cold, and he died. He drowned. It's awful. "But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." And you know what the pastor did about 4 days later? It was a huge funeral, and Carl Wright's family was there. Not just his wife and kids, but his extended family. And the pastor preached the message out of Carl's Bible. And he opened up the inside cover of Carl's Bible, and he read what Carl wrote just hours before he drowned. What do you think that did to the family? And may I say that there are family members that are now on their way to heaven that weren't before. You say, "But Carl drowned when his boys were just little kids, and that's awful." Let me tell you something. His family, as they've passed away, have been embraced by Carl in heaven. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You say, "Yeah, but I don't want to die." That's because you're not close to the Lord yet. Because when you get close to the Lord, you'll want to die. Oh, I don't mean you want to drown. But that's what Jesus said. You want to save your life? Lose it. Die daily, it says. Follow the example of your Savior. Give your life to Christ as a living sacrifice. Let God have it. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I love John chapter 10, verse 10. It would have been fine. It would have been perfectly fine if Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." That'd be fine. We need that. I love the fact that he says, not just life, but life more abundantly. When you get to heaven, will you just have life? Or will you have abundant life? Will there be others there because of you? Will there be others there that you'll get to enjoy? Will your treasure be in heaven? This world's not your home. You're just passing through. I want you to understand that the best investment advice you've ever been given is to delight in the Lord. Because if you delight in the Lord, you will realize the return on that investment like nothing else. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Carl Wright's family heard the gospel and said, "I need to be saved." They knew it. They knew it before, and they knew it then. Maybe you're here today and say, I've never just said I need to be saved. I never just said, surrendered to God and said, "I just need to be born again. But I need to start delighting in the Lord and trusting him." Would there be anyone say, "That's me, Pastor. I'm not saved, but I want to talk to you about it. I'd like to pray with someone about salvation today." Anyone with an uplifted hand said, "That's me, Pastor. I need to be saved." Anyone? No one's looking but me. Anyone say, anyone out there, "I need to be saved. Pastor, I'm just letting you know. I'm just raising my hand saying I need to be saved. I'm not sure I'm saved." the vast majority in this room probably are saved. And maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about delighting and all the junk that we delight in that isn't really rewarding us very well. And the lack of faith and trust in Him isn't really paying off very well. God would have us delight in Him, and He'll give us the desires of our heart. I hope the Lord spoke to your heart about it like He has mine today. We're going to close in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Dear God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for opportunity to preach Your Word in church today. Thank You for what Your Word says over and over again. The theme is throughout the Bible. We put You first. We can trust You for everything else. Lord, I pray that You would challenge fathers to put You first and to delight in You above everything else. Mothers, families, individuals, grandparents, children, help us to delight in You and trust You that You will eventually give us all the desires we ever thought we wanted and make us the advertisement for the world that the world needs to see. I pray that You'd make that the reality of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.